that it should come forward, that it shouldn't take too very long.
Just a few minutes.
Could you state your request, Mr. Chester, first for the record?
Yes, my name is Francis Chester, and I operate a sheep and wool business and a wool mill out of Augusta County, Churchville, Virginia in particular.
Okay. Mr. Chester has a pending court appearance. I know a lot of people have another, a lot of different schedule issues to be dealt with, but as I'm indicated by staff, it shouldn't take but about 10 or 15 minutes. Mr. Cale, is lunch here? You check?
Yes.
It is. What I'd like to do is to take Mr. Chester's case. We will recess if shortly after that. Do you think it'll take very long, Mr. Chester?
5-10 minutes.
5 or 10 minutes. Recess after that and be back here. That clock's not right, is it? By 1 o'clock. So if you have a pending case, be back by 1 and we'll take the rest of the docket. Shouldn't take long. Mr. Grab, the way that this is going to go forward, you want Tony to present first? Staff will present first, and then you can be offered an opportunity to rebut.
Quick second.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chester. Commission members, this is the situation. You'll recall that Mr. Chester appeared before the commission back in May regarding the assessed royalty for a permit we had sent to him for payment for a bridge over Jennings Branch in Augusta County that was on his farm. At the time, the commission's asked if it would be okay to have this deferred so that he could come back and have it heard in June. Mr. Chester agreed that he would come back in June for the commission to hear his case. However, Mr. Chester indicated soon after that he realized he had a conflict with the June meeting and sent a letter asking it to be deferred until July. Mr. Chester, this is the information that the commission has in front of it at this time. Essentially, what you have here is a permit was authorized and sent to Mr. Chester for execution. It included a royalty assessment in it of $1,140.75 for the square foot encroachment of the bridge that Mr. Chester proposed to build on his property. The bridge went from one side of his farm to the other, where he was selling, or maybe has sold now, they may have closed on two lots that represented the farm, represented the land on the other side of the farm. They were for other individuals to buy that land, to develop that land, and build houses on that land. The bridge would be for their access. Mr. Chester, I understand, has some rights to go over there on a hayride and take folks that utilize his farm during special events or public events that he holds. And I understand from one of the property owners who had bought on the other side or were buying on the other side, excuse me, that they would also allow Mr. Chester to mow hay over there, but that wasn't necessarily a contractual agreement in the part of the sale, as I understand it, but they would allow him to mow hay until they built their home sometime down the road. And that's one person thought they were going to build their home on the other side of the river, or the other side of the creek, in about 5 years. So with that, our understanding was that this was basically a commercial development of the property. Mr. Chester was selling the property. The bridge was providing access for the new owners. And as a result, we viewed it as commercial. And as a result, staff assessed the $1.50 square foot fee for the bridge, or royalty for the bridge. And if you do the math, it comes out to 760.5 square feet times $1.50. That's where we get the $1,140.75 from for the encroachment. So staff believes the royalty assessment was consistent with the commission's directive that was adopted back in December for our new royalty schedule. And as a result, we're recommending that the royalty not be changed. If you have any other questions, there's quite a bit of history that goes with this application. That's kind of different than the royalty assessment, but I'll be glad to try and answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions of Mr. Watkinson? Mr. Robbins?
I have one, Mr. Chairman. The requirement of the royalty then is a function of the use of the bridge per se. In other words, if it were simply private use.
I think we could have considered a lower royalty rate if it had been just for Mr. Chester to get from one side of his farm to the other for his normal farming practices. It would have been his own private use. It wouldn't have been development or commercial in nature and allowed to sell the property.
But since residential development has occurred on the other side, you're considering that to be part of a commercial arrangement?
That's correct. That was our assessment.
Thank you.
Any other questions, staff? Mr. Chester, please. Mr. Chester, I know you're a member of the bar, but you're in this situation, you're an applicant, they'd swear you in. Solemnly swear the testimony you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the true self you got.
Certainly.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
State your name. And
my name is Francis Chester, and I operate a sheep and wool operation in a wool mill in Augusta County, Virginia. I'm also an attorney. First of all, Mr. Chairman, congratulations on your new position.
Thank you, sir.
And gentlemen of the board, I appear before you because I feel that what has been going on with this situation has been nothing short of mind-boggling and very unfair and unjust. As the log that has been presented to you by your assistants indicated, I came before this agency on January 10, 2005, and applied for a permit to connect the north and south ends of my farm. What had happened was I was not able to get financing from the banks to build my mill because they felt that wool mills are going out. I had to resort, reluctantly, to put up the back end of that farm up for sale. I have two farms. This was one of them. With the understanding that I would be able to continue to farm for a number of years in that back section and to permit the agri-tourism activities that we do. We put on a pumpkin fest every year, which draws thousands of people. And we also have a wool fair to promote the agricultural products that we produce in that area, primarily wool and lamb. So I put the property up for sale. To do that, I needed to build a bridge. I thought it was going to be quite simple. I didn't think this was going to get totally out of hand. I submitted a proposal to Tracy West. She was very kind and very, very assistant in her ways. She indicated that this was a very simple project and should be approved, and the permit should be issued within a week. That's what I was told. She told me that it was going to cost between $50 and $100 because I specifically asked her how much the permit was going to be. So without any, I just accepted that was going to be the fee. Then I found out when the permit was not issued immediately that there had been a letter of objection to the bridge based by a person downriver to the thing. And I approached Tracy about it, and she says, you need to make some modifications. So I hired an engineer, and the plans were modified according to the wishes of this gentleman. And it was submitted to this commission. I didn't hear anything. I followed up with calls, letters, everything. And suddenly I found out that my plans were lost. And they suggested I send another set. So I did. Sent another set. Then they said, well, we don't know where the plans are. I spoke to one of the secretaries. He told me the problem with this agency is that we're overwhelmed. She says, at this particular point, we got 3,000 applications before us. And she says, I know you've been waiting a long time. I'll see if I can't move this along. The next thing I heard that there was an objection by the same gentleman, a neighbor of mine, that he wanted further modifications. So I hired a second engineer, and that was done, and supposedly was submitted to the board, to this agency. And then I was told that they didn't know where it was. This went on from January 10th of last year until I just got totally fed up, and I personally came here and appeared before this board, and thank goodness your board was kind enough to allow me to get that permit to get on with this job. I can't tell you what this thing has cost me. This thing has cost me thousands of dollars beyond what we ever anticipated. But let me give you an example of some of the confoolery that I've had to deal with. And it's not all your agency's fault. Department of Transportation decided that after 10 years of my operating over there, that I needed a commercial entrance. Five-figure position I was placed in. I said, why do I need that? I says, never, with all the thousands of cars that come there, do I need this? No accidents, no traffic jams. When you got a good thing, why do we have to go further? They says, you've got to do it. 2 weeks after being told this, a crew of engineers come on my property, and they're surveying my property, and I went over to them. I says, what are you guys up to? They says, well, we're going to tear down the bridge in front of your farm here, and we're probably going to do it within a year or so. And they laughed. They says, I understand the state wants you to put a commercial entrance. I says, yeah. They laughed. They says, don't do it. I says, why? This is because we're going to tear it up next year. I says, you mean to tell me the state wants me to put all this money in, they're going to tear it up? They laughed. They says, don't tell anybody we told you, but that's what's going on. So I went back. And guess what? They says, God, we didn't know about the bridge going in. I says, well, don't you think you ought to check? They checked and they came back. Sorry, you still got to do it. I says, well, wait a minute. Let's back up here. I says, you want me to put all this money in? Then you're going to tear it up next year. You're a taxpayer. I'm a taxpayer. Do you realize that you're going to have to reimburse me for all this? They says, that's right. I says, I don't understand how government functions. I says, I may have a degree in political science along with several other degrees, but I cannot, for the likes of me, understand that. And then I'm faced with this situation. I'm coming along, and when I got the permit, I was told I had to pay $1,200 and some odd. Gentlemen, $1,200 and some odd for this? That's what I'm paying. What am I paying this for? A private bridge that I'm paying the cost of? I'm going across a property that I own? The state comes along and says, no, you got to pay us $1,200. Sir, gentlemen, do you think that's fair? You think that's just? I brought before us the Constitution of the United States, and I think maybe we ought to address that issue. There's a section of this over here, and this is the Article 1 of the Constitution. It says over here, no state shall pass any bill of attainder or ex post facto law. Ex post facto law says we come along and we pass a law, and anything that your conduct you did before that, we're going to penalize you. That's what it is, plain and simple. December 1st, you people had this law to work with. You raised the tax for whatever reason. Here I am, January 1st, trying to deal with your agency, trying to comply with the agency's request to get this thing done, a simple bridge that has gone into, like, the Verrazano Bridge. And by the way, you go out there, I'm calling it, by the way, the Little Verrazano. This is taken on into a huge situation. You think that's fair? It's against the Constitution. Now we go to the 14th Amendment. It says that you cannot take a property from someone without just compensation. I feel that this agency has taken money from me without just compensation. I feel that this is wrong. And this leads to a distrust of government. I mean, I got enough problems with the government, I just showed you. I mean, small business people were getting hurt all the time. Government should be working with businesses, not hurting them. Let's work together. I'm trying to build a business out there, and it's growing. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's employing people that don't have jobs. Why do you people give me such a hard time? I don't understand why government gives us such a hard time. So I pray to you, gentlemen, that you reconsider this. Please, let's reimburse. I'm not asking for the $50 or $100, whatever it is. I'm asking for that assessment that I feel is unjust. I thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chester. Any questions for Mr. Chester?
I have
Mr. Holland.
The the Virginia Department of Highways, are you still, do they still consider your entrance a commercial entrance?
I've had to put it in.
You put the commercial entrance
in? Yes, sir. All that money's been put in.
Okay. Thank you.
Any comments, Mr. Josephson, pertaining to the legal arguments that he's made?
Well, with respect to the legal arguments that Mr. Chester has made, he's raising constitutional issues about taking property and getting a piece of paper for $1,200 relating to his own property. And I think with respect to that, my response would be that under the Code of Virginia, state-owned subaqueous lands are state-owned, presumed to be state-owned, unless it's proved to the contrary. And the proof to the contrary requires establishment of a King's Grant or a colonial patent back when it was available and authorized. So it's not personal property unless it's established to be personal property. Presumption under Virginia law is that subaqueous lands are state-owned property.
Counselor, then under that basis, then I don't own my farms. The state owns it. That's what you're saying,
no,
basically.
No, I'm saying under the water. I'm not saying the land.
Under the water.
Under the water.
What water bodies do I own, and what water bodies does the state own? How do we determine that?
If it's navigable, it's presumed to be owned by the state.
Sir,
if
that is not.
Navigable, it's presumed to be owned by the private property owner.
That is not a navigable body of water.
That's
you
fact,
can't.
That's always a factual issue that, you know, it's.
Try running a boat in there. I guarantee you, you'll go 1 foot.
I'm not familiar with the area, so I can't speak to that. But that, whether a river is navigable under state law is a factual issue. It's different from what is navigable under federal law, which is more lenient, more pro-government for federal purposes, for navigability purposes. It's a matter of determining whether it's navigable. If it's navigable, it's presumed to be owned by the state.
Navigation means to be able to move. Am I correct, sir?
A craft of some sort.
You can't move. You can't move a boat there. I'm telling you that now. So it's not navigable. So that issue goes out the window. My point is this, that what about the argument of ex post facto? You people passed the law.
That's what I'm going to ask. If I could ask Tony a couple questions, I think you're right down my line. Presumably, when Ms. West informed Mr. Chester of the amount of the permit, had everything gone unprotested, smoothly, the drawings had been submitted, could the permit have been issued prior to the resumption of collection of royalties?
I would think yes. Typically, permit for bridge project at 60 days, maybe 90 days to resolve issues, get it out the door. That's a typical time frame. So when Tracy was asked about the cost of the project in January of 2005, there was no royalty being assessed at that point because the royalty schedule and the royalty authority from the General Assembly had not been put in place.
Subsequent to the resumption of the collection of royalty decision made by this commission as authorized by the General Assembly, were there any impediments caused by the applicant that caused a delay in the issuance of this permit?
I believe so, yes.
How many?
As one of the protests, let me just take a second. The application was objected, as Mr. Chester referred to, by his downstream neighbor. That protest first was filed in March of 2005 by the downstream neighbors. Some additional information was submitted. We received an additional protest letter in August 26 of 2005. In December, I believe it was. No, I'm sorry. January 6, 2006, we received a letter from the protestants indicating that their objections had been resolved. In that letter, they referenced two drawings that Mr. Chester had prepared to address the engineering of the bridge, the floodplain issues, where the bridge was going, and address their concerns. We had gotten one of the drawings from Mr. Chester that was referenced in that letter. And that was Mr. Chester and I had this conversation several times on the phone. We needed the second drawing that was referenced in that letter. And it wasn't until I actually met Mr. Chester at his farm in March to investigate the grading activities that had occurred in the stream, that I got a copy of that engineering drawing, which later became part of the permit. So it was not until March of this year that we received one of the drawings that we had been trying to get from Mr. Chester to resolve the all the issues so that we could issue the permit in this case.
Thank you. Any other questions, Attorney? Mr. Chester, you have 2 minutes to wrap up, please, sir.
Yes. He indicated, Mr. Wilkerson has indicated that there were two drawings. I asked this agency several times, what do you need? They says, we need your drawing. I sent three times the drawings. When he came and visited me, I says, what do you need? He said, let me see your file. We went through the file. He says, oh, that's the one I want. I says, why didn't you let me know from day one about this?
Mm-hmm.
And when I gave it to him, that seemed to solve the whole thing. I did do two things at the request of this neighbor, and we did, and I thought it was submitted. And when I found out that the second one was not part of their package, that's what happened.
Mr. Watkinson.
I just want to add my take on that aspect. The two letters that were referenced in the protestant's withdrawal letter, we attempted to explain to Mr. Chester, or I did, because he had been dealing with Tracy, and I ended up dealing with Mr. Chester to try and resolve this matter. The two documents that were referenced were the engineering drawings Mr. Chester had provided. I specifically referred to the different names of those drawings and the companies that prepared those drawings in my conversations with Mr. Chester over the phone to try and describe to him what we needed to resolve this so we could issue a permit. When I went to visit him at the farm, he pulled out that drawing that he ended up giving to me and said, oh, I finally realized what it was you needed, and here's a copy of it. And he gave me an original, which I brought back to the office, and we used to issue the final permit. So there was some Mr. confusion on Mr. Chester's part, I think, about which drawing he needed. He sent us one drawing several times, but we needed that different drawing of the one of the two that was referenced in the protestant's letter of withdrawal, or the letter they used to withdraw their protest. And it wasn't until I met him on site that we got that letter. So we attempted at the staff level to try to explain to Mr. Chester which drawings we were talking about.
Any other questions, Mr. Watkinson? Matters before the commission consideration. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for counsel. Just want to know if you know, if there is any mechanism for any applications that were under consideration and active at the time that we passed our policy for those being grandfathered. It seems to me that when we passed the policy, we adopted it effective that date. But is there even opportunity for, quote, grandfathering applications that were.
Well, I think that's the whole issue. The issue is, when is the royalty due? And as staff's write-up mentions, it's a permit issuance royalty. It's not an application fee. It's not a processing fee. It's when the permit is issued. And when you adopted your policy, it was for all future permit issuances.
Thank you.
Any further discussions of the commission?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Holland.
Based on all the testimony and due to the fact that there is a commercial entrance into the property, I think that clears up the whether it's commercial in nature, I move that we adopt staff recommendation.
Second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Chair votes aye. We'll be in recess until about 1:15. We'll resume the agenda. Thank you, Mr. Chester.
Thank you.